From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 18th day of May, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, and Ben Brown of MU Extension out of Columbia, Missouri. We'll also take a look at the weather forecast with Don Day from Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and hear from the state statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota. All on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July corn today at 658 and a quarter, 5 3/4 higher. That's the old crop. New crop at 543 and a quarter in the December, 6 higher. Nearby July beans down 13 and a quarter, 1574 and a quarter the settlement price. November 2.5 higher at 1399 and a half. The bean oil futures down 30 cents and the bean meal for the day, $4.10 lower. Wheat futures July contract in the soft red at 690. Down a penny and 3/4. Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, now joins us to discuss what happened in Chicago. Hi, Wayne. Thanks for taking time with me today.
Oh, great to be here.
Tell me about yesterday's report from USDA, the weekly crop progress report. Farmers are just moving at a tremendous pace.
Yeah, you know, 80% of the corn planted, 41% emerged. You know, the average is only 35, 61% in the beans, 20% emerged, just flying right along, 85% of the spring wheat. We're getting stuff in the ground in a hurry here, but there's some areas where they are a little bit behind. Down in the Mid-South, a lot of cotton doesn't look to get planted because it's getting late to plant cotton that far south, and we're seeing a lot of corn acres going to be planted in where they were planning to plant cotton down there. So that might be where some of our corn acres are coming that Inform was projecting.
Yeah, so they were up at 96 million acres. All of that puts a little pressure on the marketplace. However, there was another sale to China today.
You know, they have stayed in this corn market. They're going into the new crop now because they know that they've got just about everything booked that we can ship out and that's available and that the farmers have let go of. So, but they've been very aggressive on buying some new crop. They're trying to get up the numbers to fulfill the phase one before we get into negotiating some more on that. But they've been very aggressive with the corn. And the beans, they backed off and haven't done so much lately. There's not much sales to China on the beans. But and I think that's why we saw the beans shrink back today.
Yeah, I saw a news item about the corn that said that the data on exports to China for the 21-22 crop year, I think, implies it's up 301% from this time, same time last year.
Yeah.
As we were moving, just an incredible number. So what does it all mean for producers who have watched the market drop like a rock over the last week and a half to 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's sort of the question mark here along the way. But I think right now we're seeing the good demand. We saw corn stay up today. We went down, hit sort of a low there. It doesn't help that the dollar's at a four-year low. That's one of the things that's giving us a little bit. It's helping the price, but it's the inflation factor along with it. And crude had a little down day to day too. But as far as the corn, we sort of went down. We seemed to bounce off some lows yesterday. We're continuing to see some gains, but we do see some pretty strong resistance up above that 672. So there's some resistance up there to see. That's on the July corn for taking it through. But if we go out to the Dease, we're seeing some resistance there in that 550 mark for right now.
Any reason to believe that old crop corn would be able to rally again on the problems that continue to take place with the Safrinha corn in South America? And can new crop hold pace with it if it does so?
You know, I think the one thing we have to look at on that is it's going to be the weather that goes along with here in the U.S. and the planting intentions. I think it's going to be looked at very carefully. If they continue to lose ground on the Safrinha crop, well, we're probably going to stabilize the July corn along those lines. But as far as we're looking at the new crop, it's going to be all about the weather here in the U.S. In the coming weeks here that way, Todd. So also in the planted acreage, we've seen a very big variance in how many acres of corn or beans that might get planted. And along the end of the month here, why we're going to see some numbers from the government and sort of get that straightened around. But it's numbers and it's weather is what we're going to be looking at from here on in.
And the weather forecast looks better in the United States?
It does. The weather forecast is much more favorable than it was. We're getting some rain in different places that they didn't look for it. Now, is it enough to get back to what normal would be? Of course not. Dakotas are still going to be dry, but they are. Dakotas, Minnesota, Nebraska, and Iowa are looking to get some rain this week, and that's a big deal. We've got a little less than an inch here over the last couple of days, but boy, last night driving around a little bit, that moisture like that and the heat coming along, this crop just looks so much better.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson with L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Monday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows as of Sunday, 80% of the corn crop around the nation had been sown. The rolling five-year average is 68%. 41% of that crop has emerged. The five-year average is 35%, and 61% of the soybeans have been put into the ground. The rolling five-year average there is 37%. 20% of the crop has emerged. The five-year average is 12%. Winter wheat now headed 53% complete. 58% is the rolling five-year average. 41% of the crop is in good condition, and 7% excellent. Last week, that was 42%. And 7. Now here are the state statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is Rebecca Alter, statistician for the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office. Most of Iowa received some precipitation during the week. Much of Iowa continues to need additional precipitation. Normal temperatures would also aid crop development. Field activities included planting, spraying, and applying anhydrous and dry fertilizer. Cleaning of terraces and fence rows was also reported. Topsoil moisture levels rated 7% very short, 27% short, 61% adequate, and 5% surplus. Nearly one quarter of west central Iowa's subsoil moisture level continues to be rated very short. Planting of Iowa's expected corn crop is winding down at 94% complete, almost 2 weeks ahead of the five-year average. Only farmers in west central Iowa have over 10% of their corn crop left to plant. During the week ending May 16, corn emergence jumped 30 percentage points to 52%, 4 days ahead of normal. 83% of the soybean crop has been planted, 18 days ahead of the five-year average. Farmers in southeast Iowa have approximately one-third of their soybean crop left to plant. 24% of the expected soybean crop has emerged, 1 week ahead of normal. Pasture condition rated 42% good to excellent. No problems with livestock were reported. For the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office, this is Rebecca Alter.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week was cool and dry across Illinois. There was an average of 4.2 days suitable for field work around the prairie state, and farmers used those days to plant corn and soybeans as well as to spray fields. Temperatures averaged 52 degrees last week, and that was nearly 10 degrees below normal. Weekly rainfall totals range from 1/10 of an inch to nearly 9/10 of an inch across Illinois. The state average of just 4/10 of an inch was more than 1/2 inch below normal for this time of year. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 1% very short, 10 short, 69 adequate, and 20% surplus. Soybean planting advanced by 14 points and reached 71% finished by Sunday. That compares to 57% 1 year ago and 40 normally. Soybean emergence has reached 40%, well ahead of the five-year average of 16. Corn planting is now 86% finished, compared to 81 last year and 71 normally. 59% of corn acres have emerged, compared to 48 normally. Moving on to winter wheat, 85% of acres are now headed in Illinois, compared to 63 last year and 69 normally. The condition of the Illinois wheat crop improved to 4% poor, 13 fair, 61 good, and 22% excellent. Pasture conditions were rated 1% poor, 23 fair, 53 good, and 23% excellent. That is better than the previous week. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office. Minnesota farmers were able to take advantage of 6 days suitable for field work during the week, and field activities included corn and soybean planting. Top soil moisture supply is rated 14% very short, 37% short, 48% adequate, and 1% surplus. Dry conditions continued to be reported. Minnesota statewide corn planting progress was nearing completion at 95%. That's 1 day ahead of last year and over 2 weeks ahead of the 5-year average. Corn emergence reached 39%, which is 4 days behind last year, but 2 days ahead of the 5-year average. Soybean planting progress was 88% completed, just over 1 week ahead of last year, and over 2 weeks ahead of the average. Soybean emergence reached 10%, which is 4 days behind last year, but 2 days ahead of the average. Spring wheat was 84% emerged, over 2 weeks ahead of last year and 16 days ahead of average. Spring wheat jointed was 13%, over a week ahead of last year and the average. The first report of spring wheat condition was 0% very poor, 0% poor, 22% fair, 63% good, and 15% excellent. Pasture condition rated 5% very poor, 12% poor, 38% fair, 41% good, and 4% excellent. Pasture growth remains slow in some areas. For the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across their regions. Let's check the weather forecast now with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don, thanks for being with us. I'd like to start in the northwest. We've had rain here. They've not through the Dakotas and the Canadian prairies. Is there any change coming?
Yes, there is. And finally, those areas I just mentioned have probably the best chance of significant precipitation they've seen in a long time. We have a large area of low pressure that's going to basically stall out in the Pacific Northwest, while we have a really large area of high pressure that's developing over the eastern areas of the U.S. And the counterclockwise spin around that northwest low and the clockwise spin around the eastern high is drawing a large fetch of moisture all the way out of the subtropics, up through Texas, through Kansas and Oklahoma, then into those northern plains and those Canadian prairie provinces. And there's going to be widespread areas of rain showers, thunderstorms, and just good old-fashioned steady rains developing late this week and over the weekend in those areas. North Dakota in particular, and southern areas of Saskatchewan and Manitoba and British Columbia and Alberta all will see some really good moisture.
Iowa has been suffering some drier conditions as well. Will it move that far to the south and east?
Iowa's got a good chance. It does look like Iowa's kind of the bridge between the better rains that are going to be down in eastern Texas and some of those south central states, and then as that moisture expands northward. So there is some good news for Iowa rain as well.
Anything for the eastern side of the Corn Belt?
You know, that area is underneath the area of high pressure. And while there is going to be, it does look like some rains across portions of Wisconsin, maybe some of the western areas of the Great Lakes. Once you get past Illinois into Indiana, Ohio, those eastern areas aren't going to see as much. Yeah, there'll be some shower and thunderstorm activity, but over the next 10 days, that area, that eastern side, is going to be the drier area.
Warmer than average, too?
Yeah, close to. You know, there's nothing jumping out here as we look at the end of May into early June that looks really warm yet. I would say closer to average temperatures.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Ben Brown is now here from Missouri University Extension and FAPRI, the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute, to talk about the marketplace. He's an agricultural economist. Thank you, Ben, for taking the time with me today. The Monday exports for corn looked pretty good. Can you tell me about them?
Yeah, sure can. Thanks for having me on, Todd. Really appreciate it. So on Mondays, Mondays and non-holiday weeks, we get our weekly export inspections report for the week prior. And there was actually some fairly positive things in this week's export report. They showed that for the last week or the week ending May 13th, we saw 74.5 million bushels of corn exported, which was up from the previous week, 67 million bushels the week prior. So up about 7 million bushels on the week. That's just right at our 10-week average as well. And so when we look at that and we think about what this means in the long term, that continues to elevate us above the USDA total that they've got in place. Just last week when USDA released their USDA supply and demand estimates, they increased that U.S. corn export number 100 million bushels, bringing it up to 2.775 billion bushels for the year. Now, if we take this export shipment number for corn in a seasonal average pace and what's on the books, at least sales currently, and we have seen some cancellations and rolled sales to a new marketing year, but if we still take what we have on the books and we take what we've shipped, you know, the shipment pace suggests that USDA has reason and that there is evidence that we could see that corn export number increase even further by about anywhere between 75 and 100 million bushels by the end of the year. So that's certainly supportive of that corn pace as we look ahead. On the soybean side, you know, we're at this period of the year where we don't have to import or export a lot of soybeans to hit USDA's targets because we've pretty much shipped everything that we expected to ship. And we only need to average about 7 million bushels a week to hit the current targets. But this week, we exported 11.3 million bushels of that season average pace needed. When we look at where these products are going, and this is probably where the positive comes on the corn side, China accounted for 37 million bushels, almost 37 million bushels of the corn that we exported last week went into China. That was significantly up from the week prior, almost three times as much as they took the week prior. And when we look at China's share of everything we exported, it was about 50% of what we exported last week. That's a good sign, mostly from the standpoint that we have seen China cancel some sales or roll sales to the new marketing year. They seem to be aggressively buying new crop corn. I remind folks that they did that last year too. By the time we rolled into the new marketing year in September, China had a large amount of grain on the books already, and it seems to be that they're doing that again this year, buying product early in that new crop marketing year. And certainly as price has fallen this week, 90 cents on those deferred contracts, you know, China has come in and been able to pick up some corn at a cheaper price than just even a week ago. So some positive things, but still, you know, we continue to watch and make sure that those shipments continue to hold and they have to this point.
So you did say by the end of the year, maybe potentially to increase the exports to China, but you meant the marketing year, I think.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yep. Sorry. The marketing year, which ends August 31st. Yes. Yes, that is correct.
Yeah. And so it's important then to go back to the WASDE from last week, where USDA put out the first marketing year for 21-22, or the new crop year, and exports there aren't nearly as large. And so even if this export pace were to continue into the beginning of the year, it shouldn't be reflected very much, I suppose, in new crop, because there's such a large gap between new and old crop exports.
That is correct, Todd. And, you know, at least, you know, the current year, the current marketing year we're in this year, which really accounts to last year's corn production, you know, USDA has been stepping that up. Last month, we saw an increase of 75 million bushels. This month, an increase of 100 million bushels. But as you mentioned, as we look towards their expectations for next year, you know, about 325 million bushels less next year of what they expect to export this year. Couple of reasons for that. One, you know, expectation for increased corn production within China, and especially in that Black Sea region of Ukraine, parts of Russia, being able to pull some of that corn from those regions as well as we look into the next year. Also, Brazilian corn production is expected to be up, you know, pretty substantial next year on increased acres and a return of yield after kind of a dry spout this year.
Let's turn your attention to soybeans. You generally do some work with crush. What are you finding?
Yeah, so we had the National Oilseed Processors Association release their expectations and their soybean crush numbers for the month of April. We always get those the middle of the month following. Kind of a disappointing report this month, and I think that's going to weigh on the markets at least for a period of time here, because when we look at, you know, what got crushed in April by processors that account for 95% of total soybean crushed, it was only 160.3 million bushels in the month of April. And that was 2.5 million bushels below even the most pessimistic trade guess of all the analysts around the country. Down big from the prior month, we were at 178 million bushels for the month of April. So 18 million bushels less than that, and down, you know, 11 and 11.5 million bushels from last year at this time. So when we take that and we look at this in terms of a season average pace, basically what this equates for is that for the 8 months that we have on record for the marketing year so far up through April, so September through April, we're sitting 25 million bushels above year-over-year levels for all those months. And that's exactly what USDA has got for an increase this year for an entire marketing year. So the expectation for the marketing year crush is 2.2 billion bushels, which is 1% above the prior year. Again, if we want to look out into what USDA is projecting for next year, they've got another 1.6% increase in soybean crush for the new marketing year. As we look ahead, primarily a lot of this is being driven right now on the soybean oil side. Now, when we break down the components of soybean crush and what crush facilities are getting for their product, comparing soybean meal with soybean oil is the most competitive compared to soybean meal within that crush calculation since all the way back in 2012. And this is being driven by increased use of oil and renewable diesel and other products. But when we look at, again, back to this crush, we had five huge months of soybean crush to begin this year from September through January. I mean, just record-setting, very aggressive soybean crush numbers. February, we were down due to that cold winter storm that hit parts of the United States. I never can remember the storm's name, but I think it was Uri or something like that. Shut down a lot of processing facilities in February. We had a good strong month in March, and now we're pulling back from that in April. And really, this is, a lack of available beans to be able to work through the crush facilities when we look at this. So that's going to continue to hamper us a little bit as we head throughout the remaining months of the summer until we get the U.S. crop in place. The lack of beans is going to be our challenge there.
It just dawned on me that last fall's crush pace, was that related to vegetable oil use at home?
Yes, it was. And certainly, like when we look at, those soybean oil stocks, we didn't get into the difference between the soybean oil stocks and the soybean meal shipments that we also get in this NOPA report. But when we look at the soybean oil stocks, they were on the low end of the equation as well. At the beginning of the year, it was driven by vegetable oil. Now it's being driven by domestic use for biodiesel and stuff like that. And April was a record high for domestic soybean oil use. So not only is it, for international vegetable oil products, for countries that need vegetable oil for different components, of which soybean oil is one of them, but we're seeing record amount of domestic soybean oil use as well.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, Todd.
Ben Brown is with University of Missouri Extension and FAPRI, the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute, and joined us here on the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon.